Welcome to Grain Talk, a Grain Journal podcast in which we give voice to the issues and events affecting lives and livelihoods in the grain and feed industry. Have an idea for a podcast? Email Grain Journal digital media specialist John Reedy at john@grainnet.com or call 1-800-728-7511. As always, keep up with the latest news at grainnet.com. That's grainnet.com. And be sure to get the latest Grain Talk podcast at podomatic.com, podomatic.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Thank you for listening. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Grain Talk. I'm Grain Journal digital media specialist John Reedy. Today, we'll be speaking with Margaret Barber, Director of External Affairs and Business Development for the Port of Coos Bay, Oregon. The Port of Coos Bay includes marine operations, Coos Bay Rail Line, and the Charleston Marina Complex, which support economic development of Oregon's South Coast and for all of Oregon. Grain also plays a major role in Oregon's economy. It is one of the state's top five exports and something the port will be looking to expand toward in the future. Hello, Margaret, and thank you for joining Grain Talk today.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Margaret, could you please share some of your background with us, how you came to Port of Coos Bay?
Sure thing. So I've been with the port for about 5 years. Prior to that, I worked in economic development for about 7 years with a private nonprofit economic development company. I had done lots of work in that role with the port. And so I was somewhat familiar with what we do, and just always thought it was such an interesting and dynamic organization. So when an opening came available, I jumped at it.
So tell us a little bit about Port of Coos Bay, how it started, what is its history? I know it can trace itself back, I believe, to the early 19th century.
Yep. You're correct there. So it became an official port in 1912. The Coos Bay Rail Line was constructed by the Southern Pacific and began operations in 1916. So from the time that the port came into existence, there's been several efforts to deepen the channel. So we're now at a depth of about 37 feet mean low water. The port actually purchased the rail line in 2011, and then we had a third party operating it for us. We took the operation in-house in 2018 and have been operating it since. Another interesting piece in our history was that in 1987, we became the second international state port in Oregon. So the only other one is Port of Portland. And basically the significance there is that our board is appointed by the governor of Oregon as opposed to an elected body. So
what are some of the port's natural features that have lent itself to this development?
Sure. So we're located geographically really well. We're about 2 hours north of the California border. We're right on Oregon's coast. We're actually the largest deep water port between San Francisco and the Puget Sound. The benefit there is that marine transit time, from our farthest reach of our federally authorized channel is 15 miles. So tops, you're looking at 2 hours to open water from any of our terminals.
So give us an overview then of what the port does. What facilities currently exist at Port of Coos Bay? You mentioned the rail line. There are a few others.
Yep. So we've got seven marine terminals that are currently operating in our harbor. We've got the port itself owns about 2,000 acres that could potentially be developed to support maritime commerce. The rail line runs from Coos Bay up to the Union Pacific Yard in Eugene. It's about 130 miles.
What are some of the industry trends in transportation and logistics that the port is hoping to grow to meet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's interesting because we always receive inquiries from business interests from all over the world. What's been really interesting the last 6 months or so, we've seen a tremendous uptick in that. By far, much more interest in the port than I've ever seen. And I think the big driver behind that is what's going on in the transportation industry right now. There's a lot in the news about the congestion in LA, Long Beach, and Oakland, and Seattle, Tacoma. It's really impacting, you know, on the import side, you know, the pricing is huge and, you know, people are seeing a lot of delays. And so, you know, I think that what's been happening is kind of highlights an issue that's always been there and people are just paying more attention to it now. I think, you know, from a market perspective, you know, between the tariffs that were happening in 2019, then followed by what everyone thought was going to happen with the outbreak of COVID, you know, like, oh gosh, you know, the sky is falling, all of our businesses are going to collapse. So in the transportation industry, you know, ocean carriers were scrapping vessels at a higher rate. The railroads were adjusting their operations accordingly. And then of course, the exact opposite happened. Instead, we've seen you know, just this tsunami of imports, way increased demand, especially for agricultural products in Asia. And then, you know, that's caused like a really big challenge as far as, you know, asset allocation, particularly with containers. You know, like the rates are so high that, you know, exporters here in the US are having a hard time getting their hands on the containers because once they get here and get emptied, they're just sending them right back to Asia because the cost differential between imports and exports. So I think all of those things kind of culminated and it's created a much greater interest in, okay, you know, clearly the system is broken. We need different outlets so we can be prepared for these kinds of things when there's, you know, real breakdowns in the supply chain.
So what sort of access or advantages can Coos Bay offer those shippers over, say, the rest of the West Coast?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, if you look at Coos Bay, we've always had an active harbor, but we don't have the same congestion issues, like, at all. So I think that's a really attractive feature for us at this point. Again, I think that where we're located, we've got, you know, faster shipping times by sea to Asian markets. The length of our channel being what it is, transit time is less. So you're not going to be, you know, stuck at berth as long. You're not going to be, you know, paying pilots to take you all the way up river. So, you know, and I think like another really great asset for us, because we do own and operate our own railroad that connects with the national railway network, that gives us the ability to kind of like bundle services, so to speak, like, you know, you're dealing with us. We care very deeply about providing quality service. We're small. We're a port authority, so our driver is not the same as, say, a privately held railroad. We're like the kinder, gentler railroad.
So you bring up railroads. They ship a lot of grain. Asian markets, of course, are driving demand these days. Coos Bay, what are their goals for developing grain shipping opportunities there?
Yeah, well, I think as we've looked, you know, at business development here for the port, we've really tried to look hard at what commodities would play really well here, both in the community and, you know, just with our natural assets. And, you know, grain and other agricultural products really fall to the top of the list for us. So, you know, we're working right now to acquire a facility that could be easily retrofitted to accommodate grain. But in addition, you know, we own about 1,000 acres on a piece of land that's called the North Spit, which is the closest point to open water. It's all zoned industrial for water dependent use. So it would be a great fit if we were able to build out a new facility. And I think, you know, one of the benefits of building something from the ground up is you can build it to meet the needs, you know, build to suit what the use is going to be. I think one of the challenges that ports have throughout the West Coast and throughout the states, frankly, is, you know, really antiquated terminals that aren't necessarily set up to meet the needs of shippers today. So
you mentioned some of that infrastructure. Have you had grain companies reach out to Coos Bay to gauge mm-hmm. whether that opportunity was there?
Yeah, no, those have been among the inquiries that we've received. And we're certainly, you know, working to see if we can meet those needs, you know, excitedly.
Do you expect, as far as meeting those needs, it sounds like, do you expect China's appetite for grain to drive these exports and hence even grow even more interest in taking grain through Port of Coos Bay?
Absolutely. I mean, I think populations are going to continue to grow, and that increases demand just naturally. I think with the existing marketplace, you know, from the reading I've done, when this first, you know, the real crunch on the transportation system, it was anticipated that that would dissipate, you know, relatively quickly. Now, you know, what the experts are predicting is that it could last through 2022. So it's not a problem that's necessarily going to go away really quickly. And even when the market corrects itself, which, you know, it inevitably do, it always does, you know, congestion has just continued to grow over the years. It's a problem that's, you know, ports are scrambling to figure out how they can manage, you know, truckers coming in and out, how you can manage, you know, moving stuff around in the yards. It's just getting slower and more strained. And so, you know, eventually there's got to be a tipping point. And I think Coos Bay is ambitious and motivated. I think one of the nice things about us is we are a smaller port, which, you know, allows us to be a lot more nimble than, you know, some of the larger entities out there. So we've got a great workforce here. Coos Bay was built on maritime commerce. So it's a tradition that's really honored here. So I feel that, you know, we as an organization feel really confident that we can serve as that release valve, essentially, for the markets.
So then what goals do you have for Port of Coos Bay over the next 5 years, say, to kind of reach this demand and serve those markets?
Yeah, well, we've been really heavily focused on diversifying our cargo mix. One of the interesting things, you know, Coos Bay is not different than many of the other ports that are in the timber belt, so to speak. That market has contracted over the last 40 years. So and we were really heavily dependent on timber. We were at one point the largest timber port in the world. So really we're looking at how do we bring in different commodities through Coos Bay that would work well. Agricultural products, of course, is at the top of our list, but, you know, mineral ores, aggregates, things like that. So that's really been a primary focus of mine. Another really exciting project that we've been working on that I didn't mention yet, that I'm hoping to see kick off within the next 5 years, we're looking to deepen and widen our navigation channel. So I think I mentioned right now it's at 37 feet deep, mean low, low water. The project that we're working on would deepen it to 45 feet. So, you know, when you look at the major West Coast ports, the big players all have a draft of at least 45 feet. So, you know, as vessels continue to get bigger and bigger, you know, these companies are trying to maximize their economies of scale, we see the need to keep up with that trend. So we'll be hoping to kick that project off here in the next couple of years. We've already, I mean, not kick it off, but start construction. We're at like 90% engineering and design on that. And I would say another one of our major goals, we're looking to, or one of our goals is to construct a multi-use terminal that's rail served. So, you know, for these smaller entities that are like, hey, we want to move stuff through Coos Bay, but they don't necessarily have the appetite to build out their own facility just because it's very expensive to do so. For us to be able to create that platform where we can have, you know, a number of different uses on one site and accommodate some of those small to mid-size shippers.
And it sounds like the rail line will play an important part in grain development for you too.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, since the port purchased the rail line, we've invested well over $100 million into bringing it like up to a better state of condition. And we're continuing those efforts. We've got two projects coming up that are set to kick off this summer that are about $35 million price tag. And we'll continue to continue to make these improvements. I think one of the things that's really great about us as a Port Authority owning the rail line is that we have the ability to access state and federal grant dollars to support that work. So we always say, you know, there is a truly symbiotic relationship between maritime commerce and rail. So an interesting thing about the rail line, before we owned it, it was owned by another company, and they had let it fall into a state of disrepair and actually abandoned the line in 2007. So what immediately happened after that is all of the, you know, the folks that have terminals here in the harbor and other customers along the rail line came clamoring, like, we need this. It's key to our business models. It keeps transporting or transporting our goods cost effective. So we'll either need to, you know, cut back on our staffing or move our facilities. So the port went to work right away with the Federal Rail Administration and the STB, Surface Transportation Board, to acquire the line. We were successful in doing that. So, you know, it's a really deep commitment for us to keep that infrastructure up to speed and working well, because it's critical, you know, for the customers that we have here.
All right. And anything else you would like to add about the port that we didn't discuss earlier, or how do we contact you if we are interested in those services?
Absolutely. So I would invite anybody who's interested to check out our website. It's www.portofcoosbay.com. And that's Port of Coos Bay is PORTOFCOOSBAY. Yeah, and my contact information is on the website. You can also feel free to check out our social media accounts. We've got a pretty active Facebook and LinkedIn account.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Margaret. Appreciate your time, and good luck in the future with Port of Coos Bay.
Great. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to Grain Talk today. Be sure to get the latest grain and feed industry news from grainnet.com and see all the latest products and suppliers at grainfeedequipment.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And remember, you can download or listen to Grain Talk anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. Thank you again, and have a great day.